Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can.
Wonderful. Welcome to the call this evening. Very excited to be with you. This is going to be a wonderful evening to discuss some principles and also an opportunity. Hi, Bill.
Hello there.
Welcome this evening.
Thank you. How are you?
Okay, well, we're ready to take off and have a great evening. Did you get my response this afternoon by any chance, Bill?
I've not.
Ah. I checked your email because I sent you a response to your email, so thank you.
Okay, you bet. Thank you.
Oh, it's good to be with everyone this evening. We're going through this process over these few weeks of learning these principles. Let's have everybody press star 6, if you would, please. We're having just a little bit of an echo in the phone. So press star 6. Thank you, and that should assist us. And if you'd like to share, just press star 6, come off again, say, Dave, and I'll acknowledge you, and then feel free to share. So this is an interactive experience for us. And so excited to have you on the line with us. We have several new people with us this evening as we go through this process. Also, those that are on our scholarship program. We have a number of our great coaches with us tonight who are working with our scholarship students, and we welcome all of you to this experience. I'd like to start this evening by asking if there's anyone who had an experience this last week with the last few principles of intrinsic validation. We're stepping into someone's world. We're creating a safe place for them. They take down their walls of resistance. We find out a great deal about them. And in that process, we try on their dreams. Before we decide to share something with them, we ask ourselves, is this really going to be of value to them? Now, we'll spend a little time in a few weeks about the need to be right, because there's a thought process that just needs to be right about our ideas. This is an opportunity to step back from all of that and say, is this really going to serve this person? And if so, is this the right time? And if it is, then we get agreement to share with them products, ideas, solutions to problems that we think would be helpful to them. We also discussed that objections are going to come up. And objections are not questions that demand an answer. They're a comment that demands a question. And so we want to be able to honor someone in their objection as much as we do in their thought processes. So thank you all. Is there anyone who would like to shout out tonight and share with us an experience they've had with the principles of intrinsic validation?
Hi, Dave. This is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
How are you?
Wonderful. Crystal, so everybody knows who you are. You're going to be joining us next week at the cabin to be going through the process of assessment training. Crystal is an expert witness in the California court system as an advocate for people struggling with alcohol abuse. Just an amazing human being. I've known her for a number of years, and welcome. Welcome, Crystal.
Well, thank you. How about that? I'm blushing. Can you see? I had a very interesting week. I left after the call on Tuesday, Wednesday morning. I had to go to town, and I went into the bank, and I have a little egg business, so I brought some eggs with me, and I went into the bank to see if anybody needed any eggs, and I kind of felt like I got shot, and I walked out licking my wounds, and I said, all right, Dave, let's see if this really works. And I put the eggs back in my cart, and I stood out in front of the bank, and I said, okay, who am I supposed to help here? And all of a sudden, this name popped into my head of this guy that worked at the jeweler's. And so I walked down the street to the jeweler's, and I went in there, and he was so excited to see me. I had seen him at a function, and he took time away, and he actually had a customer that came in and waited on that customer and sat down with me, and it was very exciting to hear him talk about his new experiences in sobriety, asked me for my phone number, asked me if I knew about, asked me about some books, you know, if I could give him the names of some books. And I just floated out of his place.
Did you leave him some eggs?
I didn't leave him any eggs. I'd already left them in my car. I'm like, I am so over the eggs.
shared with us one of the key ways to use our mind constructively. We're going to spend a little time in a few moments talking about those destructive uses of our mind. But imagine, here we are coming out of the bank, a little beat up. And could we go into a pity party at that point, Crystal? Are you still with me, Crystal?
I'm muted, so I wouldn't be noisy.
Okay. When we come out and we get beat up a little bit, can we go into discouragement or catastrophizing or fear or a pity party? Is that something we can go into fairly easily?
Oh, yeah, and I was just licking my wounds. I was saying, how dare them not want any eggs? How, you know, fresh farm eggs and they don't want any?
And consciously you stop not going there today.
Mm-hmm. I have two cards up, and one card is in green, and I look at it and bring it with me. It says, not going there today. And then the other card, which is on the left-hand side of the green card, says, no left turns in yellow. And so I look at that.
Share with everyone a little bit about your cards. This is something that you're doing to assist you to remember these principles. Share with those who are listening.
Oh, well, what I do is I go through what our assignment is, and I go back to the website and copy what our affirmations are or what our assignments are, something that jumps out at me, like last week when you said, not going there today. Mm-hmm. And I write it on an index card. I just go to the store and I buy colored index cards. And so I take a magic marker and I write those down, and then I carry them with me in my book because we're reading the scrolls too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I need something, I just have them sitting right there next to me or have them on the computer, you know, kind of stuck up with just a little piece of tape, and it just reminds me.
Not going there today, you make the shift, go into inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And you did get an inspiration.
Yes, I did. I if I hadn't said that, okay, Dave, is this going to work, I would not have thought of Jim's name. I wouldn't even have thought of him.
And instead you go and have a great experience with him that would not have happened otherwise.
No, it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't asked the question. I was sort of testing you out. I was saying, okay, Dave, come on, let's see if this thing works. I'm bleeding here.
Oh, and there's no yoke about this, right?
No yoke about it.
I know it was terrible, everyone. Well, thank you, Crystal. Wonderful.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Oh, Dave?
Yes.
Yes, Eileen. I heard something the other day that really I like to remember, and it don't put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket. And
ooh,
that it does go along with the scrolls that we're reading, but it was just really good, and it's something I'm hanging on to.
I'm going to borrow that one. That's a great one. Don't put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket.
Right.
And Eileen, in a few weeks, we'll have one that could be a companion to that.
Okay.
That says, why is it that when my neighbor offends me, I burn down my house?
Yeah.
Well, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you, Eileen.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else would like to share this evening?
Hi, Dave. This is Steve from Arizona here.
Hi, Steve. Welcome.
How are you? Just felt compelled. I hope everybody's doing great tonight. Had a client session this week. My coach, Bill, who I can't say enough great things about, gave me some hints.
Nor can we.
He's a great guy. Some hints into a process that might assist her. Kind of borrowed your Chicago Dream template to help her in the process of recovering from a stroke, break down some barriers she's built around her own heart to intrinsically validate herself, which came with a lot of objections, to assist her in validating her husband, who's sacrificed 2 years of his life in her recovery. And another instance with reading the scroll about procrastination with a friend who has a terrific idea for a machine that generates fuel, energy from garbage, debris. And he I identified in our conversation, I could just sense he was struggling with a personal problem, and it, I just asked if he needed somebody to listen or needed some advice, and it turned out he was having some great difficulty with his wife and was procrastinating on an investment, and stepped into his dream and worked with him on his goal and his adventure with his product, and he found it within himself to take the next critical steps the following day that sealed the deal for him, found the investors that he needed, and got his project off the ground. It was just really amazing.
Well, Steve, one thing I know for sure, the universe is about open up and is about ready to open up and bless you.
Well, I hope so. And that came following what I hadn't really done prior too much, is I woke up with the realization that I hadn't challenged myself each day with saying, if there's somebody who needs me to serve them today, put them in my path. And that first day, which was Friday when I did that, his name popped into my mind. He lives in Salt Lake City. And matter of fact, I'm going to see him early part of next week. That's the front end of the story that I just told. It's quite interesting the way that just sort of manifested itself just from that mindset.
Congratulations. Now, something's coming to my mind, and I'm just going to say it. You need to talk to Chase about being up at the cabin next week.
Yeah, if Chase is listening, I do owe him a phone call, and he will get it tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going to be in Salt Lake. That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This is powerful. Last week you shared with us, Steve, about your programmer, your web designer.
Yes.
And you stepped into his world, and somebody you would have summarily dismissed in the past, and opened up an opportunity to bless his life, and you're going to be blessed in the process by him giving you even more attention and a sense that his creative genius will start to show even greater for you.
Yeah.
And this week, stepping into the world of someone who's serving someone with a stroke and someone who's had a stroke, being able to put yourself in the path of someone who's having challenges, just to pause for a moment. Steve, if you take us back to that moment when you're talking to this person and you get this impression that he's having a challenge, have you ever had a challenge like that?
Absolutely. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
And I could sense it in his voice. I could just see the pain in his eyes, even from being on the other end of the phone, and just intuitively knew that something was wrong, and just allowed him to move at his own pace to tell me. And I think gave him some comfort and some energy that he needed to take that next essential step forward in his project and in his life.
And it's interesting, it's a great example of one, hearing the impression, acting on it, hearing it because you've been there so you could feel it yourself. You could feel what he was feeling.
Absolutely.
You step into his world and you listen. And it's not about you giving him advice about something you wanted him to do. You are giving him some guidance and some courage about something he wanted to do.
Yes.
What a beautiful example of listening to a man's dreams, and before we say anything, we try on his dreams to see if what we're about to say would really serve them. Because what you did is not unlike if you had a product to offer that would bless his life just as much as the courage you gave him to proceed with his dream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great parallel. So those of you out there who have products that you want to sell, services that you're selling, and you're talking to someone, listen to what Steve did. He was really there to serve this other person, and what he was about to share was going to serve that person in realizing their dream. And sometimes it could be your product. It could be your service that they need, just as much as it was just encouraging someone to follow through with an action to realize their dreams. Steve, I could reach through the phone and give you a hug. That's just
a beautiful
example. I had a coaching session this morning with this amazing human being. She may be on the phone. And we were talking about life experiences, and we made this distinction. When we own our life experiences, we take them out of the sack. If you go back to the dream, I remembered this moment in the dream differently this morning as we talked than I have in a long time. That when we took that most difficult item, it wasn't to go and relive the act. It wasn't to go back and remember all of the horrific things that were done. It was to remember how it felt to be alone, to feel isolated, to feel violated. Just those feelings, so that now it's in my heart. Steve, it is now in your heart, your experience. You're talking to someone. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their body movement. You can feel it, and your intuition is screaming, ask them this. And you say to Steve, as you did, you seem to be having a challenge here. Can I be of service to you to listen? Or do you need some advice? And just by that genuine stepping into their situation with a person who really is burdened, doesn't know what to do, and really would love to talk to someone if they had someone they could trust, and you become that trusted person, that safe place, and they share. That's just a beautiful example of owning the feeling. We don't want to own the experience. We don't want people to go back and rehash horrific things that happened in their lives. Just go back and remember the feelings for the purpose of being able to identify them in another person when you see them. If you don't own it in your heart, you can't do that, can you, Steve?
No, absolutely not.
You're just not there for them. You're still pretending you don't have those feelings. You're still being shut down. You're still squashing that and everything about you, trying to pretend that everything's okay. We just want to own the feeling so that as you show up, you can feel it in another. The neuroscientists call this bridging the bone-skin barrier. But the brain really is designed for us to be, when we're connecting with another person, paying attention, that's what they call it, we're paying attention to another person. While we're paying attention, our brain can simultaneously go back into the recesses of our experience, our memory, and pull from it to help us better understand what that person is experiencing. That's physiology. That's not even spirituality, other than I believe God created our brains too. That's physiology. That's the way it's designed. So as we focus on another human being, go back in those recesses and we start to remember what it felt like. That's all we're doing by going through this process. It may feel very spiritual because it does have spiritual implications, but it's just a process to help us embrace the very way we're built. We are built to connect, absolutely built to connect. And there are so many things that have happened in our lives that get in the way, and so much dialogue going in our heads that rob us and everyone else of that ability. And when we can own those things, those feelings, and then we feel them in another person, as Steve so beautifully said, we step into the world. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share this evening? This is good stuff, everyone. Thank you.
Hello, Dave?
Yes.
Hi, this is Mickey Wallace. How are you?
Hi, Mickey. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. I haven't spoken on this call yet, but I'm one of these scholarship students. So I really want to thank you for this. I consider it an honor, and I'm extremely grateful to be part of this.
And who is your coach, Mickey?
Delph.
Oh, my goodness. Delph in Chicago.
Yes. Yeah,
and you know Delph was an architect and a very successful one, and he had some traumatic things happen in his life along the way, and he has just made the decision that what he wants to do with his life is bless people's lives, and it's so exciting to see you two connected. Well, share with us, Mickey.
great coach. I'm extremely, I love him. I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed about all of it. But I had the privilege Friday night of, I'm assisting a guy through the 12 steps of recovery.
Yeah.
And, last Friday night he came over and completed the fourth and the fifth steps with me. And, you know, it was a safe place, and I was able to, you know, go through the inventory with him and look at, you know, a lot of his past as far as the relationships he's had in his life and some of the things he's done, and really get present to all of his experiences in his life up to this point. And in doing that, you know, we identified certain patterns with certain ways that he would always revert back to as far as actions and behavior that he would do. And in that, you know, we identified, you know, some of his, what we would call character defects.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, when I identified those, and I said, see this pattern of these things that continues to show up, and whether it be his parents, his siblings, his other friends, and other past relationships or people that are in his life, I said, you know, these are the things that are part of you that, you know, I told him, I'm like, you know, these are the things that, you know, are to be engraved on your heart. These are part of, you know, your experience and part of the character that you've been up to this point, which is going to allow you the opportunity to really be of service to other people. When you see other people come into your presence with these types of things that they're dealing with, you will know exactly what they're going through. And this is the axis, and this is the power that you have is within that to be able to be of service. And when I was telling him this, I could just see a complete shift in him, and like almost like, you know, he brightened up and he realized that this experience is all for nothing. It was really kind of a great moment. I just wanted to share that.
Oh, Mickey, you're going to make me cry tonight. Because we're getting ready to release Ogmandino's Alcohol Recovery Support Program entitled New Life Support.
Yeah.
And one of the things we want to do in that program is to teach sponsors how to do exactly what you just did. Because when someone knows it is not all in vain, I can't take it back, you know. I can't go back.
Right.
You know, some of it in steps 6 and 7 and 8, you know, I'll start making amends and, you know, I'll start doing those things. But in this critical moment where someone is sharing in step 4 and then sharing it with one human being, and you got to be the human being.
Right.
To be able to make that transition for them, oh, yeah. You mean this is going to have a purpose? Oh, this is your greatest asset. Imagine, which I couldn't have said it better than you did. I've recorded it once, and I didn't say it as well as you said it. That is the message. When someone gets that vision and starts focusing on other people, they begin to heal. They will begin to heal at a very high level, because you know that step one and life is unmanageable. Step 2, turning our lives over to a power greater than ourselves, that when they use their life experiences to step into another person's world, their divine nature is going to wake up. Their connection to God is going to get richer. It just will. Wow.
It was amazing just to see him shift, the individual. He shifted, too. I mean, I clearly saw, as I explained this to him, that this is an all for naught, he just, you know, really, it changed him.
Yeah.
And I saw it.
Now tell me how you felt after you were leaving that occasion.
I definitely felt I was right where I needed to be. There was no doubt about that, you know. But I just felt really honored and privileged to be able to be there for him. and for him to be as willing as he was to take those actions to get to that point where we actually met, and it, you know, took, you know, over 4.5 hours of work and of discussion and everything else, and it was just, I just felt very, very grateful to be in that situation.
Well, a big gratitude back to you for owning your own life experiences and showing up in his service. Big congratulations. We're so excited. And Mickey, let's make sure that through Delph you stay in touch with us as we get ready to release this program. We're sending out an email tomorrow just to let everybody know. It's going to be May 1st. All of you on the call will hear about it before anybody else does. May 1st is the big day. On the 14th of April at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a teleseminar. You'll want to get yourself registered. And Mickey, what a great place to bring your friend if they would like to hear as well. And we'll walk through how that program is going to bless the lives of people to support you as a sponsor, to support your program, to assist people in having someone connecting with them multiple times during the course of the day so that they can have what is going to turn out to be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25 touches a day just from us. I mean, a week, plus the work that you're doing, and to dedicate 4 or 5 hours to someone as you did last night at such a critical point in their recovery. What a gift to give someone. Thank you.
Thank
you. We invite all of you when you get that email to get yourself registered. There's only 1,000 people we can have on that call just because of limitations in the phone lines. So you'll want to get registered just as soon as you get it. That night I'm going to walk through the program step by step and show you what to do in terms of inviting people to participate if they would like to. It's more informational. There's not going to be any selling that night. It's just information so everybody's aware about how it works. I give you a taste test tonight, but I'm going to save it for the 14th. It is absolutely amazing what we're going to be able to do. We have a new technology that's being patented as we speak that is allowing us to have all of these very personal touches with people. It's a thing of beauty. We're going to take supporting those in sobriety to a whole new level in the months ahead. And Mickey, thank God for sponsors like you. Oh, my. I'm going to give one more person an opportunity to share. And then we're going to go into some principles tonight. Is there someone else whose heart is just pounding and there's something on your soul that you just want to share with us? Is there anyone?
Hi, David. Nicole from Canada.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I am also a blessed scholarship recipient. And
and who is your coach, Nicole?
Catherine.
Catherine.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We had a real connection last week on my first call, and
is Catherine with us tonight, do you know?
I don't know.
Well, she'll probably listen to this later if she's not, so hello, Catherine. A big shout-out to you and a big thank you for working with Nicole. You've got a really seasoned, wonderful human being working with you. So.
Well, thanks, and I'm so excited. And, you know, hearing Mickey touches my heart so deeply. I am also in recovery and am a sponsor, and I could almost cry just with happiness and gratitude that he shared that story, because I do a lot of relating to the 12 steps and the principles that I'm learning here in this program. And I had a very interesting call before coming on to this call, and it's a very good friend of mine that I'm in business with. And, you know, I saw her name come up on my cell phone, and I thought, oh, no, I don't really have time to talk to her, but I must talk to her. There was something that, you know, I needed to talk to her. And actually, as it turned out, I didn't need to talk. She needed to talk. And I broke my anonymity with her a long time ago. I'm breaking my anonymity again. But I feel that there are some points with certain people that I need to do so, and with her I did, you know, about a year ago. So she calls and she talks, and she came out of her own denial, came out of her own remorse and guilt about her own addiction and wanted to share that with me. And it was a beautiful call, and we hung up, and I'm just thinking that over this whole year, her and I have been doing the principles of Og Mandino. We've been doing it without even realizing it. And last week you said, and I was reviewing my notes before the call, you said, may know I'm in a miracle or find out later. And I'm finding out later I've been in a miracle for a whole year with this dear person, this dear friend of mine. And I just love it. You know, in recovery, we have this slogan, is it odd or is it God? And, you know, it's a bit of both. And so I just want to thank you, Dave, and Mickey, to thank you for sharing that. That was a beautiful story, and I'm so excited about the new life support program, and I'm just feeling full of gratitude and feeling very blessed as well. So thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. When we see those miracles in retrospect, they really are magnificent, are they? Aren't they?
Absolutely.
And to be able to see God's hand in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned something about you've been studying Og for the last year.
I have.
I don't have permission to break someone's anonymity on the phone. But there's a wonderful human being on this phone who's been sober now for 29 years.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Who's a huge Og Mandino fan and who is assisting us in taking all of Og Mandino's principles and the intentional creation principles and tying them right into the 12 steps. And they tie in beautifully. Mickey, the reason why you brought me to tears tonight was because we were talking about this just last Thursday, myself and this wonderful human being who's helping us. And I was describing to her what we're going to say about these things we've been dragging around in our sack, all these challenges. And just there are so many little pieces like that. Partnership, accepting a higher power, stepping into someone's world and being able to see another person and bring that stuff to the table, where we're going to be heading here in a few moments about mastering our minds and using our minds constructively. Because, Nicole, you know, and Mickey, you know, and so many on this phone, that when we get into substances like this, and we create expectations, and as the big book says, we become actors on a stage, and we want everybody to play along exactly the way we've written the script. And rarely does it happen that way, and it can create all kinds of resistance and resentment. And you just walk down each one of these pieces, and watching them meld so beautifully with Bill W.'s inspired work from 1939 in the big book, and Og's inspired word, Og, an alcoholic in his own right. I've shared this before. Betty said that his proudest moment was going to his grave sober. That this whole topic just rings to the heart of the Og Mandino family. Because when Og became sober, he dedicated an enormous amount of time and a lot of personal resources to bless lives of people who are struggling with alcohol abuse. And we're all suffering from something. We're all struggling with some kind of ick. We just are. And when we finally say, okay, I've got an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind, and I can no longer drink alcohol, that's part of my process, no more alcohol, then, Nicole, we get to start working, as you know, with all the thought processes that drove us there in the first place. We just don't have this as a crutch to return to. We're going to find better choices in terms of using our mind. This is just a natural. Og wrote The Greatest Salesman in the World in those 10 scrolls on the heels of his alcoholism. When you read those scrolls, and you read especially scroll number five speaks such volumes about Og Mandino's life and the pain that he carried in his heart when he says, can I relive the errors of yesterday and right them? Can I take back the evil that was spoken, the blows that were struck, the pain that was caused? No. yesterday's buried forever, and I'll think of it no more. Wow. This is what was inspired, Nicole. You're sharing. Thank you. And Mickey, Steve, and Eileen, and Crystal. This is becoming my favorite part of the week. I want to express my gratitude to each one of you for taking these principles and applying them in your life. That little moment of coming out of the bank, Crystal, and choosing differently, not going there today. Eileen, hearing some of those really fun quotes and having them resonate with us. And on down with Steve and Mickey and Nicole, thank you so very much. Well, I'd like to share some principles with you tonight. You have an opportunity to listen to this audio. If you're in a coaching program, you've also got the transcription of this audio available to you. And I'd like to be able to rehearse a couple things with you and bring them to your attention, things that I felt, that I feel are important for us to understand. They're just a little complicated. I'll try to make them as simple as we can so they're just easy to assimilate. When we're dealing with goals and expectations, we're dealing with things that exist only in our mind. Just so we understand that. These are things that exist only in our mind. Now, our minds can often be so overactive that the same brain chemistry and brain circuitry fires that would fire if we were actually there. So the brain thinks it's real. It's real, like a tangible reality real. This is a really powerful concept to know, that these things exist only in our mind, and the mind thinks they're real. This creates some real challenges, especially when reality shows up differently. Now, I've spent a fair amount of time researching and writing on the subject of fantasy. We put some exhaustive information here. We call them the 7 Herculean tasks. This is regardless of why we fantasize. If we choose to fantasize, we will inescapably face at least 7 Herculean tasks. I just want to review them with you so that they're very clear in your mind and share with you anything that might not be written. We know that when we go into fantasy, we create concrete conditions for happiness. This is a very simple concept. Just like building a house, we build this in our mind. It's called a mental construct. We're constructing our dreams. Now, in this sacred space of the mind, they become so real that they become expectations. Now, in the alcohol recovery support program, there's a lot of discussion around expectations, because expectations create resentments, and resentments are a primary reason for turning to alcohol. You take expectation and break it down in the meaning of each one of those portions of the word. Concrete condition for happiness. I love what you said, Eileen. Don't give the key to our happiness and put it in somebody else's pocket. We get to put the key to our happiness into our mind, into one of these expectations. That becomes our key to happiness, but it exists only in our mind, no other place. And we call this something called the Millionaire Magic Doctrine. You'll hear me talk about this. I still remember the day when I had this thought. It's like the Millionaire Magic Doctrine. It's like people want us to believe there's a fantasy fairy that will somehow magically manifest our wishes if we just visualize them with enough intention. Nothing further from the truth. So as we go through this process, we're going to be hyper concerned about what we're thinking about. Crystal went to seeking inspiration, one of the constructive uses. Because if we don't say not going there today, and we slip over here, and we create one of those concrete conditions for happiness, we set ourselves up for a very traumatic event. A very traumatic event, which we'll discuss in a moment. 2. Expectations exist only in our mind and cannot be magically or mystically changed into tangible reality. I was on a call a couple weeks ago with one of our coaches and a group of distributors for one of the largest companies in the country, Network Marketing Company, with their Philadelphia group. Just a wonderful group of people. And I was sharing this. When we got done, the leader said, as you were sharing this concept, Dave, I started to get just a little concerned, because what you were sharing was in absolute conflict with what everybody else has been teaching me until I finally understood. There is a power greater than us. I call that power God. It does manifest when we vividly visualize, but what it manifests is inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. Things that also exist only in our mind, but they're inspired, so they excite us, they ignite our passion. But the vivid visualization never magically or mystically manifests tangible reality. You are not going to have dollars show up because you've been thinking about them. Now, I know a lot of people that would want to fight me on that, and I have no desire for a battle. I'm just really tired of people bleeding emotionally. You know, I wish I could have it. Why can't I touch it? I can almost taste it. Why can't I have it? What's wrong with me? Does God not love me? I've dealt with so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have tried to manifest tangible reality through vivid visualization. Vivid visualization is critical. Again, it's how we use it. When we're in fantasy, there's a belief that somehow it is the source of physical creation. It is simply a tool we use in mental creation. 3, if we want to create our expectations into reality, we'll have to do the very things we're attempting to avoid through fantasy. This is a great concept. Think about this. When we leap ahead into fantasy, we're skipping all the work. Think of, we are setting ourselves up. The very thing that's required, we are attempting to avoid. The very thing that's required to create our dreams, we are attempting to avoid. Talk about something that's confusing. How can this be? Doesn't make any sense at all. However, we can engage in this process to get away from and escape from, but in escaping, we have to do those very things. It's why when we fantasize, we come back and we find ourselves required to wash the windows and take out the trash, if you will, that you're already in a mansion with servants who do that. Well, why am I doing this? We're confused with needing to make phone calls and connect with people, the very things that build businesses, because mentally we've already escaped past all of those seemingly traumatic and difficult things. 4, all too often our expectations cannot be created on this planet. Now, you've heard me talk a lot about this, and there's an article in the introduction section in the 6 qualities and in the personal coaching section about the fork in the road, curing the ease disease. This is a truth that's hard to embrace for some. But the sooner we embrace it, the sooner we begin to become creators and actually realize our dreams. And that is that when we want a life without stress and without pain and even without debt or obligation, we are looking for a place that does not exist on this planet. Just the truth. It doesn't exist here. And we may go to great extremes to try to figure out a solution to that. And the truth of the matter is eventually we'll come back and face this reality. Ease does not exist on this planet. I've shared many times, I'm sitting here at my home office tonight, surrounded by some amazing human beings in our neighborhood. I don't know one of them that's stress-free. The more successful you become, the more stress you will experience. The difference is, the more you will have become capable of handling it. And the more stress you can handle, the more capacity you have, and the greater things you can handle. Wealth does not come without stress. It's just part of the process. Where do you invest it? How do you invest it? How do you save it? How do you protect it? Who can you trust? It's on and on and on. The company's profits are down. What do? We got employees. How do we save them? I love this person. They've been with me for 10 years. You can hear the stories just go on and on and on. Now, I do have a neighbor, bless his heart. He was a CEO of a major corporation. He was just lost his job a couple weeks ago. Dear friend. Now, he's having a moment that's somewhat free of stress for a period of time because he got a 2-year severance package. That's kind of cool. He's not in any hurry to go back because he'll most likely have to move. They just want to move. Not at this point in his life. So he'll be facing stress eventually. He has a moment of reprieve, but there's no such place as a world without stress. Just a couple more. 5. Our body will create potentially dangerous chemical reactions when our expectations are threatened. When we build this thing in our mind, this expectation, the body is experiencing norepinephrine being released. It makes us feel euphoric. That's why we have these fantasies. There's one I shared in this material about, you know, buying the car for the parents who plan poorly for retirement. And it just, you can lie in bed and you can actually weep. You can have tears dripping on your pillow from joy, from this thing that exists only in your mind. Norepinephrine is a counterfeit source of joy. It's not real joy. It's counterfeit joy. It feels good, but it's not real. It's not in this reality. Oh, the body's in this reality, the chemical reaction's in this reality, but the feeling we're having that's associated with that vivid visualization is existing only in our mind. That's how powerful the mind is, that it can cause the body to release that kind of a chemical. As I mentioned in this, norepinephrine is so powerful that if it were a prescribed substance, it would be a controlled substance. It's that powerful. It's like morphine. And so when we have this expectation and life shows up differently, and it always does, the body will go into an autonomic reaction. Now, if you've heard me say this, I'm going to repeat it again. It's interesting. I've been speaking to groups before, and I'm there for the third or fourth time in the city sharing the same story, and all of a sudden a light bulb turns on for somebody, and they finally get it. Oh, my goodness, no wonder. I came home from this meeting, and I was so euphoric and excited, and I got to $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a month of income. And then the next couple of days, I was just kind of blue and down and frustrated and angry. And, well, your bodies have that reaction. Life showed up differently. Cortisol. Anxious feeling. Your brain starts to shut down. Higher levels of consciousness that allow us to connect with another person, get blunted there. You can't focus. You can't connect. These very, very dangerous chemicals, the most common of them is known as cortisol, is the cause of tremendous, serious health problems. Exacerbation of diabetes, hypertension, immune deficiency diseases, all kinds of challenges that occur in the body because of cortisol. And some people are veritable cortisol factories. That means that the thought patterns that we're entertaining cause us to go into these very high highs with norepinephrine and very low lows with cortisol. We're a veritable norepinephrine cortisol factory, pumping out norepinephrine, pumping out cortisol. This is so damaging to the body. It exhausts us. We could just be at home fantasizing and catastrophizing these two ends, and be exhausted and do nothing physical, except because when these chemicals are released in the body, they communicate to the cells. They wear the cells out. So at a cellular level, we're exhausted. We got two more of them. Number 6, our mind will obsessively attempt to solve these unsolvable challenges. This part of our brain is called systemic. It's a systemic mind. And it processes dualistically. Now, you can make a note about that if you'd like. Dualistically. What that means is right, wrong, win, lose, all, nothing, black, white, life, death. There's no spectrum. There's no compromise. It's like polar opposites. It is either at one end or is it at the other? Listen to your dialogue and see if you ever say, you know, if we're late, we might as well not go. You know, my world's going to come to an end if. See if you can catch yourself in this either-or dialogue. Because what happens when the mind goes to this place, this fantasy, escapes to what it's going to be like then and when, and as we start living all these wonderful things in our mind, the mind will obsessively attempt to solve and wear us out. It has to fix what's broken. It's part of the reason why many of us need to fix other people when we see things that are broken. It's like the world just fell apart. The planets went out of alignment because someone put the wrong topping on the pizza. It's just because this part of our mind does not measure the seriousness of the topic. Everything falls into this category. All, nothing, win, lose, right, wrong. If on your assessment, the ninth measurement down, analytical, on the left-hand side, or the ninth measurement down on the right-hand side, goal-oriented, just go take a peek tonight. If either one of those are orange or red, this is a tremendous risk. Now, it's a great gift, which we'll talk about in a moment. I just have one more of these I want to share with you. Fantasy is premeditated anger. Fantasy is premeditated anger. And the reason why is we create an expectation, that concrete condition for happiness. And every time that's unmet, the body releases chemicals. And when those chemicals are released, it blunts our ability to not be angry. If we have any, what's called a proclivity, a natural negative tendency to anger, the very things that would help us control our anger are shut down. So if you ever get angry, just know that the most likely the primary source of the anger is an unmet expectation. We expected someone to do something different, act differently, show up differently. So a premeditated anger. Fantasy is premeditated anger. Read through this material and see if you can make sure that it resonates with you so that when you have that moment like Crystal had this week, where you're coming out of the bank or out of a meeting and something didn't work out the way your mind thought it should, remember, what happens is what happens. That's what's real. What our mind wanted to do is only in our mind, yet we'll hold everything hostage to it. In that moment, be conscious enough to say, whoa, before I get discouraged or angry or bitter or frustrated or go into that dark, black place over there where there's no light, not going there today, and we choose one of these constructive ways of thinking. Now, in terms of these constructive ways of thinking, Crystal, you couldn't have given us a better example of seeking inspiration. I had a great coaching call this week with a really powerful woman, and we were talking about these little inspirations. And Nicole, you said it so beautifully. I believe it was you, Nicole, that mentioned that miracles are only miracles in retrospect. That sometimes intuition, little impressions, don't seem as big in the moment as they can retrospectively. We want to be hypersensitive to those impressions. We may have a person's face kind of flash through our mind or remember something from our childhood or when we were at school or a coworker, just something flash through our mind. And we go, well, that wasn't anything. I'm waiting for the heavens to open and angels to sing. Go see John. That's not going to happen that way. That power speaks to us in inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems, even ones that seem wacky. What you can know is if you're at peace, if you feel a sense of peace, it's probably an inspired idea or impression. Get a little anxiety around it, you might want to be a little careful. But you get that impression, like Crystal did, to go see her friend who is the jeweler, and here that jeweler is working on his sobriety. Isn't that interesting? A lot of sobriety comments tonight. And needs some additional books to read, and Crystal's able to assist him in getting all those. walks out of there really having served someone that she would not have served. She would have missed that opportunity had she gone into that negative thinking. So as you go through this week and you're going through inspiration, remember your mind is obsessively thinking. So inspiration, sometimes the name may not come immediately. For her, it did. You know, is there anyone? Boom, jeweler, went and did it. Sometimes we start obsessively thinking about people's names. Is that a waste of time? Not at all. It's certainly much more productive than being in fantasy or catastrophe. And start playing through some names. Start thinking about several people and see if one doesn't eventually, something, an impression. Trust it. It will be probably quiet. Probably won't be terribly dramatic. It's going to be more dramatic in retrospect. When you're walking home or driving home and you think about my business partner, we've been studying the scrolls together for a year, and we've been having this miracle happening in our lives, and we can now see it retrospectively, looking backwards into time. The same will be with those impressions. Now, the mental rehearsals are like fantasies. I mentioned this last week. These are like fantasies. The difference being your intention. A fantasy, you're escaping. A mental rehearsal, you're seeking inspiration. I'd like everybody on the phone tonight to pick an event that you've got coming up this week, something important. It could be a date. It could be a conversation with a child. It could be a meeting. It could be a really difficult meeting that's coming. Put yourself at that meeting in your mind and start thinking about the people and step into their world and find out where they are and what pains and frustrations they might be struggling with. See if you can't receive some inspiration of what they might need and how you could show up differently. And then when you go to the meeting, don't go with expectations. Go to really show up, to serve, to step into their world, consciously saying, I'm not going to react. I'm not going to justify or defend. I still remember, and I write about it, about just a wonderful client who was going into what was going to be a terrible meeting. She was going to be called on the carpet. There was a dispute between a banquet that she was putting on for a nonprofit and the hotel, and she was the planner, and she was going to go in there loaded for bear and just blow everybody out of the tables and get them all straightened out, and instead she mentally rehearsed it. I think you may hear about this one if you read it. She went down to the kitchen of the hotel and got three tomatoes. See, her plan was to walk in, and before she spoke, she was going to pull out the three tomatoes and hand one to each person and say, if you don't like what I have to say, just throw this at me. Well, she never took the tomatoes out of the sack, but she showed up with that kind of fun energy, and it didn't turn out at all like she'd imagined. Now, there's a very good chance if she'd have showed up in that other energy, it would have turned out the way she imagined. I believe, and so does she, that she impacted the outcome of that meeting by the way she showed up, because she mentally rehearsed it before she got there. So explore those two, inspiration and mental rehearsal. Those are the two easiest. Now, lastly, we just got a couple more minutes. In terms of goal setting, I want you to go to like age 85 or maybe 5 years from now if you're in a relationship. If you're not if you're in a business relationship, that would be great too. If you're in a loving relationship or you want a loving relationship, go listen to this goal setting section. If you don't have a relationship, listen to creating a relationship. I share a story in there that I've seen replayed numerous times in my career as a coach, where someone visualized in their mind the perfect person they would love to have as a relationship with. They saw them. They listed their characteristics. And then I had them put themselves in the shoes of that person who's looking for the perfect relationship and describe what that person's looking for. And then doing an analysis, the difference between current behavior and the behavior that person will be looking for. And we were just celebrating the birth of the child, the first child, for the first person I taught this principle to 7 years ago. We spent 4 years overcoming some really traumatic, difficult circumstances. and giving up things that he just didn't want to give up. And when he had become the man that the woman he wanted would be looking for, she stepped right into his world. Called me. He called me the day that it happened. I found my soulmate. I just met my soulmate. And they just celebrated the birth of their child here just a few weeks ago. Oh, it's just glorious. If you need a relationship, you want a relationship with a powerful person, use this mental rehearsal and goal setting to get clear on the person you want to be with. You may not be able to find them in the places you currently look. You might have to change yourself to be the person they would be looking for. You've heard the saying that I'm looking for the perfect woman. The only problem is when I find her, she'll be looking for the perfect man. Well, it's true. It's true that people, in the case of my friend, were on parallel paths. Both of them were preparing for that moment. And they trusted that there was a God in heaven who would bring them together. And I tell you, there is. I absolutely tell you, there is. Same is true of relationships. Mentally rehearsing and going into the future and seeing your wife or your husband at age 85. And imagining what it would be like to just look in your eyes. Just the look in their eyes when you look at them tells it all. The faithfulness, the dedication, the love, the tenderness, the sweetness. And ask yourself, what do I need to do the next year, the next quarter, the next month, the next week, the next day, to begin the creation of that relationship? That's goal setting. I mentioned in there that many people who set goals don't need to write them down, simply because they've seen them so clearly, they're indelibly imprinted on their mind. Now, I would still write them down. I would still journal them. I'd recommend that you do. But if you've seen the vision clearly, this is a positive and constructive way of using your mind. And then stepping back from it and seeing what needs to be created from where you are right now, the millimeters between here and there, you'll have purpose in everything you do every single day. So this week, spend a little time in that goal-setting section. Spend some time mentally rehearsing and seeing what kind of see what happens in your event that's coming up this week. Seek inspiration and see if you can't have a moment where you know, at least retrospectively, that you received it and you stepped into someone's world and really blessed them. Because next week, the highlight will be hearing more stories like Crystal's next week as we're working on this principle, where we step into someone's world and intrinsically validate them because we were inspired to. Mentally rehearsing that event and having it turn out better or different or more powerful than you could have ever imagined. Just go into the future and set a goal. See the possibilities. Not to escape to them. You don't want to escape. You just want to see them so you know why in the world you're working so hard to get there. Is it worth it? Have it ignite your passion and drive your focus and discipline, effort, and action. I'm willing to do this stuff to get there. That's worth it. That's goal setting. Most people do to-do lists. On January, they do a whole bunch of to-do lists. I got to do this. I need to lose this. I need to make that. I need to do this. To-do lists don't survive very long. There's no vision. Without vision, country perishes. Let us start converting our fantasies, which most of us engage in, into mental rehearsals. Converting our fantasies into goal-setting exercises that ignite our passion and excite us about the work we're going to do, that drive our focus, discipline, effort, and action. Let us take this obsessive negative thought process and turn it into an obsessive thought process about thinking about names of someone we can serve. As Og says, if I'm going to be a slave to habits, let me be a slave to a good habit of constructively using our mind. Because when we are using our mind in one of these five ways, our mind is now in alignment with our heart. And I promise you, God speaks to your heart with inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Let's this week not go in there. Make a card like Crystal did. Not going there. No. consciously use your mind and come back next week to share those miracles that have occurred during the course of the week. We may sit here next Tuesday and retrospectively look back, and they'll be even more significant in retrospect. And Nicole, some of those dreams you shared, I can just imagine if you keep studying the scrolls with your business partner, you watch this thing continue to grow. Bless your life. Bless hers. Well, thanks, everyone, for sharing tonight. You've inspired us all. And, Mickey, you made me cry. Way to be as a sponsor. I know there are others on this line who would love to jump on and say the same thing. And Steve, for showing up and blessing lives like you did. Eileen, Crystal, and Nicole, thank you all for sharing. And let's have some, like we did tonight, we've had some new faces share. This is exciting. Come prepared next week. This is a safe place for us to celebrate these moments. Are there any closing comments that anyone would like to share before we close the session? Okay, everyone. This is your week to take on your mind. This is your week. Not going there. Go constructive. Come back to report next week what happens. Now, your scroll for this week is scroll number 6. I'll be the master of my emotions. I'll be the master of my emotions. You make your own weather. Yea, you carry it with you. See how many people you find this week that are tornadoes, fiery storms, weepy cold rain, high-pressure systems. Every once in a while, give yourself an assignment. Wow, I'm kind of a hurricane this morning. And just think what it's like when you show up as warm sunshine. Warm sunshine. You can control your emotions by controlling your thoughts. Have a great time this week studying that scroll 3 times a day. Come back to report next week. Everybody have a great week. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.